हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् कृतं मे गोपाय ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिश्रुणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुभागंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेमदेवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः I assume that all of you have memorized this Atharva Veda Shanti Pataha. And not only have memorized this, I also assume that you all know the meaning of this Shanti Mantra thoroughly. If you have not yet studied, you have not yet learned, and please see that you memorize this mantra and also understand the meanings thoroughly. Okay, we quickly go through the mantras from the beginning quickly for easy reading. Not all the mantras, we'll read from the 6th, 7th mantra. I said in this Mundakopanishad, in the first Mundakam, the first section of the Mundakopanishad, we are seeing the 8th mantra and we saw the genius student asked a genius question. What is that one thing by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? Kasmin jnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati. And the teacher did not immediately directly said, oh, you know, we have to know Brahman. If you know Brahman, everything else becomes known as it were. He did not give a binary answer. Because giving binary answer, it will not work. But he gave a very different answer. He just started saying, what, there are twofold vidya, paravidya and aparavidya. And he first said, the knowledge of anything and everything, including all the 4 Vedas and 6 Vedangas, is only aparavidya. Then yaya aksharam adhigamyate, and paravidya is that by which aksharam, the imperishable, indestructible, absolute reality of the whole is known. Which means the knowledge of the reality obtaining as one's own self in terms of aham brahma asmi, I the knower am the reality, I the self am the truth, I the self am the limitless absolute reality. This knowledge rises in the form of a thought. This knowledge which rises in the form of a thought is paravidya, which is knowledge of the reality obtaining as one's own self. Yaya aksharam adhigamyate. The paravidya is that by which knowledge of the absolute reality is known. That alone is paravidya. Therefore, knowing the reality is the paravidya. And this reality, therefore, in the 7th mantra, we saw, in the 6th mantra, we saw the teacher gave the Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahma. Because reality is the most abstract, subtlest. So he just revealed the reality, nature of the reality. And he also said, and knowing that reality, the wise people understand that reality as Ishvara, the cause of the universe. Let us see the sixth mantra. Yat tadadreshyam agrahyam agotramavarnam. Yat tadadreshyam agrahyam agotramavarnam. Now I am repeating because I want you to memorize this mantra. Not simply memorizing it, every word meaning should come to your mind as you read it. Yattadadreshyamagrahyamagotramavarnam achakshushrotram tadapanipadam nityam vibham sarvagatam susukshvam tadavyayam yad bhutayonim paripashyanti dhiraha. Yad bhutayonim dhiraha paripashyanti. So, I explained last class how each and every word negates the entire objective universe. Saying that those words reveal very clearly what Brahman is not first. Once you understand what the absolute reality implied by the word Brahman is not, what reality is not has to become very clear so that we can save our time searching for the reality as an object. You cannot say it better than this. Adreshyam is one word is enough to negate all the objects of knowledge as non-reality. So all those words very clearly negate the entire objective universe of forms, names and functions which are perceptible and which have forms and which have attributes and which have limbs, etc. After negating them, Upanishad also reveals how that reality is. Essentially. And so that we can tally, we can understand how this reality, arrive at the reality in terms of its nature. Swarupa. Nityam vibham sarvagatam susukshum tadavyayam. Now having discussed that, we saw the seventh verse, we are seeing the seventh verse last class. Seventh mantra. I prefer the word mantraha. Saptamaha mantraha. Prathama mundake mundaka upanishadi mundako upanishadi prathama mundake saptamaha mantraha. Yathornana bhisrjate grinnate cha. Yathornana bhisrjate grinnate cha. Yatha prithivyamoshadhayaf sambhavanti. Yatha prithivyamoshadhayas sambhavanti. Yatha satav purushat keshalomani. Yatha satav purushat keshalomani. Tatha ksharat sambhavatiha vishvam. Tathaksharat sambhavatiha vishvam. So, I said last class, it's very important to memorize and know these mantras, 6th and 7th mantras. So, the correlatives are used just as so. Yatha and Tatha. So, vishvam iha sambhavati. Vishvam, I explained last class, this entire objective universe of innumerable countless forms, names and functions, Vishwam Sambhavati originates, comes into existence. And the universe comes into existence from where? Aksharat. Aksharat. Kasmat Vishwam Sambhavati. Vishwam Kasmat Sambhavati. Vishwam Aksharat Sambhavati. The universe originates from the absolute reality which is imperishable. From the imperishable reality. The very expression imperishable, aksharams, makes it very clear that reality doesn't have a beginning, doesn't have an end, doesn't undergo any change. It is not subject to any change or whatsoever. Therefore, it is imperishable. Naksharati iti aksharam. Imperishable reality. Therefore, from this imperishable reality, the entire universe comes into existence, means aksharat Sambhavati, means it is this Aksharam Brahma, which is the Bhuta Yonihi, which is the Yoni, the cause of every entire universe. So the cause of the entire cosmos is reality Brahma. Therefore, this Brahma is also given the Ishvara status. And as Ishvara, we say, not only this reality is the material cause, also the intelligent or the efficient cause. Therefore, Nimitta Karanam of the universe is Brahma, is Ishvara. Upadana Karanam is Brahma. And I also said any Upadana Karanam must undergo a change. A material cause must undergo change to become an effect. Milk has to undergo change, go through some process to become yogurt. Even anything has to undergo change to become an effect. But here the reality, without undergoing any change or whatsoever, it becomes the universe. Therefore it is Vivarta Upadana Karanam. And not only the Upadana Karanam, it's also intelligent cause. The knowledge and the skill required for, I explained last class, for this universe also is the same reality, Brahma. Therefore, not to Upadana Karanam, Nimitta Karanam also. Therefore, Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam. I explained very clearly last class, how in every product we can see the intelligent and material causes are inseparably manifest. So, the intelligent, the material causes of the whole universe is manifest in the very universe. We cannot separate them. So, abhinna nimitta upadana karanam. As the inseparable, intelligent and material causes of the universe, we also, the reality is given the Ishvara status. The knowledge, skill required for this universe is not outside of the reality. The material required for the universe is not outside of the reality. And for which there are only two examples available. To understand the inseparability of the intelligent and material causes of any creation, of the creation or something. We have two examples in nature. There are only two examples. There is no third example available. One example is mentioned in the text. One example is mentioned in other textbooks. Anyway, all the Upanishads generally talk about your own dream. So there is dream universe. Dream universe, we experience dream. And the dream universe cannot be taken as unreal. We can never say there is no such a thing called a dream universe at all. Even though dream universe is very subjective, available for subjectively, it is not, once on dream universe is not available for everybody. Still it is subjectively real. One's own dream is real for one's own self. You cannot say it is unreal, nor can we prove it is, the dream of anyone's dream cannot be disproved by other person, nor can be proved by the dreamer himself, the person who had the dream. That is why it is neither real nor unreal. It is also mithya. So mithya means dream world, dream experience is. And the dream world, in dream, we do experience, the dream experience, we do see, perceive the non-living things as well as living things. In dream also, we have dream time, dream space, and dream objects, and the dream individual, dream isolation, and dream knower known division. In dream also, whatever we have in the waking state, whatever experience we have in the waking state, the same experience we also have in dream. Therefore, in dream also, there is knower known duality. In dream also, there's a dream knower, dream known. There's a dream individual, the dream world of objects, the dream time, dream space. And within this dream time and space, there are dream objects, dream elements and the dream elementals, dream living and non-living things. So the dream world also is everything. But the person who's dreaming, who's experiencing the dream, who's in dream, where is this person? He's sleeping in his bed, in his own room. He doesn't move an inch out of the where he is. About this dream, Mithyatvam, we have beautiful long discussion in Mandukya Upanishad. I do not know people who always studied Mandukya Upanishad remember these facts. The dream, even the first thing, how dream is mithya is explained in Mandukya Upanishad. Then from there, Gaudapa Acharya goes to explain how even the waking universe is mithya. So the dream, because many people mistake the dream itself are very real. Therefore he explains there. But here, the dream is mithya. The dream is not real. Dream is not unreal. It is mithya means we do experience and the dream also is happening. And to create the dream, which is not real, which is not unreal, we do experience the dream world means the dream world does enjoy existence for a length of time. And where does this dream world originate from? Who is the creator of this dream? What is the material required for the creating this dream world? If you analyze, the material required for creating the dream world is not outside of the mind. The knowledge and knowledge and skill required for creating this dream world also not outside of you, the individual, which means the intelligent and material causes of the dream world is none other than you. Not outside of you. Therefore, you are the abhinna nimitta upadana karanam of your own dream world. And similarly, and here we have this beautiful example of spider. Urnanabhihi. I told you already, urnaha nabhau yasya saha urnanabhihi. The one who has thread in his stomach, in his womb, is called urnanabhihi. And this urnanabhihi spider, Swamiji used to say, Mr. Spider. I remember him saying, this spider, to create its own web, the material required for creating its web is not from outside. And second thing, in the knowledge how to create the web, knowledge also is, every spider is a tiny little spider, is adequately endowed with knowledge and skill to create its own web, to live a spider's life. In fact, not only spider, you can take for any living creature, tiniest little creature also, is adequately blessed with its adequate knowledge, blessed with the knowledge to live its own life. like tiger, this every living creature for that matter. This spider also is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. So the tiger has knowledge how to create its own web. Therefore, the intelligent cause of the web is the spider. And the material required for creating its web also, the spider does not go and do any shopping. Its own material. But the material cause for the web also is the same spider. Therefore, Urna Nabihi is the Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam of its own web. Therefore, the example is given here. Yatha, therefore here, how does the universe come into existence, originate from Aksharam, the imperishable reality, for which the example is Yatha Urnanabhihi Srijate. So just as the spider creates its own web, which means spider creates its own web means the knowledge, skill and the material are all spider. The skill required for creating the web is not outside of spider. The knowledge required for creating the web is not outside of the spider. The material required for creating the web is not outside of the spider. The whole creation of web is nothing but spider. It's all spider. And not only does the spider create its own web, it can also roll back and take its web into itself. It can take it back to itself. Grinnate cha, srijate grinnate cha. You have to be very careful here. Atmane padam is used. You know why? For whose sake the spider creates its web? For somebody else's sake? No, for its own sake. Therefore, atmane padam verbs are used. Srijate, not srijati. If you bake bread only for yourself, then pachate. Okay? Now, sartakaha bread pachate. Means he cooks bread only for himself. But he cooks and everybody else in the family also eats. He also gives to his friends, means pachati. So when we use atmane padam, when we use parasme padam. So here srijate grinnate cha. The spider creates its web for its own self. And when again the spider can all the web, suppose it is not cut or something destroyed, definitely the spider can roll back and take the whole stuff into itself. Similarly here, the whole universe comes into existence from this Brahman, which is Ishvara. And again, the whole universe can become unmanifest also in Ishvara. The whole universe comes into existence from Ishvara, Brahman. The whole universe again becomes unmanifest in Brahman, which means the universe is not newly created. Universe is not non-existent before it comes into existence. It is not newly comes into existence. It was already there unmanifest. It only becomes manifest. Where was it unmanifest? It was unmanifest in Brahman. Therefore, the universe was unmanifest in Brahman. Therefore, we say Brahman is Ishvara. The Ishvara is Brahman. And from that Brahman universe comes into manifestation. Therefore, we say, again, where does universe exist? In Ishvara, Brahman. And where does universe again become unmanifest? In Ishvara only. Therefore, the universe becoming manifest from being unmanifest and becoming manifest again from being unmanifest is constantly happening. It means the universe is not newly created. It's already there. Therefore, and this, because the universe, for the universe come, for the to come in, to become manifest, to become unmanifest, the substratum, the source is the very reality, Brahma, which alone enjoys the Ishvara status. We say, reality is looked upon as the bhuta yonihi, the cause of the universe. I think not exactly the cause, but we'll understand later on. So here, yatha urnanabhihi sajate grinnate cha, tatha aksharat vishvam sambhavati iha. Now we are seeing the next line. We saw only last class, we saw until this line. Yatha, and then cha, and that's gone. Yathornana bhisrajate grinnate cha. That line has been already explained. Now we are moving on to the next line. Yatha prithivyam oshadhaya sambhavanti tatha aksharat sambhavati ha vishvam. So yathornana bhisrajate grinnate cha tatha aksharat sambhavati ha vishvam is first line. Second line, yatha prithivyam oshadhayaha sambhavanti tatha aksharat sambhavati iha vishvam. So, yatha prithivyam oshadhayaha sambhavanti. Yatha, just as. What happens? Osh sambhavanti. Sambhavati, sambhavataha, sambhavanti. Come into existence, originate. What originate here? Oshadhayaha sambhavanti. Oshadhihi ikaranta shabdaha. Ikara, singular. But oshadhihi, oshadhi, oshadhayaha, plural. Herbs. Oshadhayaha means herbs. Herbs stand for all the plants. The entire vegetation, kingdom of vegetation. All plants. Oshadayaha, all the plants, herbs, sambhavanti, come into existence, originate. From where? Prithivyam. Prithivyam. Some prithivi means earth. And prithivyam is locative case. Prithivyam yatha oshadayaha sambhavanti tatha aksharat iha vishvam sambhavati. So here, we understood already that this, the whole cosmos is manifestation of the reality. The originate from the reality, therefore reality is given the Ishvara status. There's no material cause other than the reality. There's no intelligent cause other than the reality. Therefore reality is looked upon as Ishvara, the Lord of the universe. And here we say, of course, Bhagavan. For us, reality, Bhagavan is the reality Brahma. So we can say, Ishwaraha Bhagavan Jagat Karanam. The cause of the universe is the Lord. This is how Upanishad sees Lord as the cause. Okay, but not really, we'll understand later on anyway. There's no real creator sitting somewhere and then interfering into our lives. So here, yatha oshadhayaha. Oshadhayaha. Yatha oshadhayaha. Prithivyam sambhavanti. So we saw the first example. Now the second, this is the second example given how the universe comes into existence from Bhagavan. Here, prithivi means earth. Ikarantaha strilinga shabdha. Prithivi. And from prithivi, how the herbs originate. How the plants come. Is there only one particular plant originate? Is there only one particular plant originates? No. You don't even know innumerable, countless species of plants, herbs originate from earth. And how many earths are there? Earth is one. Prithivi is one. We have to remember here. Prithivi. Earth is one. But the plants which originate from Prithivi are innumerable, countless and many. So similarly here, we say, Brahman is one, Ishvara is one, Ishvara is one, and from that one Brahma, one truth, one Ishvara, how many varieties, beings, how many varieties of beings have come into existence? Again, you have to use the same expression, innumerable, countless beings. Living elements are five, but elementals, living and non-living, mobile and immobile, can you count? Countless. Countless varieties of beings originate from one Brahma, one Ishvara. Whereas, similarly, from one earth, so many varieties of plants originate. So, this example, why three examples are given in the Upanishad? To make you understand some small facts here. So, Brahman is one, the reality is one. The only reality enjoys the status of being the only Lord of the whole. And from this alone, all these factors which enjoy existence, which constitute the universe, Vishwam has originated from that only reality. Yatha prithivyam oshadayaha sambhavanti. One thing. Second thing, earth is inert. From that inert earth, all living, all the beings which have life originate, come into existence. You may mistake, then Brahman is inert or what? No. What we need to understand, we'll see that later on. See, from one earth, from earth, all the beings originate. Similarly, from one Brahman, these innumerable countless forms come into existence. That is revealed. And now we have to see the next example also. So, ekasmat karanat bhuni aneka vidhani. So many varieties of plants originate. Therefore, yatha prithivyam oshadhayaha sambhavanti. Similarly, from only reality, Brahma, from only Bhagavan originate this world of innumerable countless forms, names and functions. Beings. We go to the next one. Yatha prithivyamoshadhaya sambhavanti tathaksharat sambhavatiha vishvam. Now, third example will go. Yatha satav purushat keshalo mani. Yatha satav purushat keshalo mani. Yatha satav purushat keshalo mani. You need not go back and again study. Because it's such a made very clear here itself. Yatha satav purushat keshalo mani tatha aksharat sambhavatiha vishvam. So you have third sentence. You have to make a third sentence. Yatha urnanabhihi srajate grinnate cha tatha aksharat iha vishvam sambhavati. Sentence number one. Yatha prithivyam oshadayaha sambhavanti tatha aksharat iha vishvam sambhavati. The third line is yatha sataha purushat keshalomani sambhavanti tatha aksharat iha vishvam sambhavati. That yatha and tatha, You can form three sentences. So, now third example, why third example is given? First, let us see the meaning of third example. Yatha sataha purushat keshalomani sambhavanti. I'm adding the verb sambhavanti. Tatha aksharat sambhavati iha vishvam. Now, sat purushaha is the nominative case. Sat takaranta pullinga shabda sat purushaha means a person who is alive, a human being who is alive is sat purushaha. Here, don't take sat as something else here. Sat purushaha. And sataha is a fifth case, panchami vibhakti. Sataha purushat. Sat, if we decline the word sat, the fifth case will be sataha. Like gachat, gachataha, patat, patataha, likat, likataha. Sat, sataha. Sat is the takaranta shabda of the verb asti. Asti. Purushaha asti. The person is alive. Sat purushaha, the person who is alive. Who still lives. Okay. Sataha purushat. The fifth case. Sataha purushat. So, sataha purushat here, the person who is alive means whose physical body is conscious and sentient. The person who is still alive and his sentient conscious body. Why? The person who is not alive means they're from dead body. The dead body is not conscious, not sentient. Okay, because the conscious mind is not present in the dead body. Therefore, the sentient conscious mind is not present in the dead body. Therefore, the dead body is not conscious anymore. Even though there is consciousness in the body, still the body is not conscious or not sentient. It is inert. Whereas the person who is alive, his body is conscious and sentient. Therefore, sataha purushat means from the sentient, conscious, sentient physical body of the person who is alive. So from the conscious and sentient physical body, purushat, keshalomani. Keshalomani means what? From the body. Keshalomani means this hair grow. From the physical body of the sentient physical body, hair grows. Okay, I can say hair grow because plural also is hair. Hair grow. Hair originate. So, we can say that the physical body consists of sentient limbs. The physical form consists of sentient conscious limbs. But from this fingers, the conscious and sentient fingers grow the nails. But the nails are insentient. From the conscious fingers, the nails grow, but the nails are insentient. From the conscious toes, we have toenails which are insentient. And not only this, the nails are not mentioned in the mantra, we are adding here. Okay, Shankara adds, so we add. And from this body, the whole body, upon the hair comes. The bodily hair is called lomaha. The hair on the head is keshaha. even though some people have bald heads, still they have hair. They originally they must have had hair. So we say the hair on the head is kesha. Hair on the bodily hair is loma. Anyway, hair comes. But what about the hair? Hair also is insentient. Skin is sentient and conscious. But the hair which grows from the sentient skin is insentient, inert hair. How is it possible? How can from a sentient skin, sentient fingers, sentient toes, is insentient, inert, this nails grow and the hair grows? How does it happen? It is possible. It is possible. Nature has proved us. Our example, very clear example. Yatha sataha purushat keshaloma. From a sentient conscious being, insentient inert hair grow on the head, also on the body, which means the nails also grow. How do we know that they are insentient? Because we are able to, the nail cutters are available, and the barber shop exists in the world because of this possibility. The hair can be cut. If we cut a consentient any limb, how much pain you'll have? We don't feel any pain. That is why haircut is possible, nail cutting is possible, because we do not have any pain, because they are insentient. Okay, we don't have any doubt about nails and the hair being insentient, about the insentiency, definitely. But where do they grow from? These insentient nails, where do they go from? From a conscious, sentient fingers and toes. And where does the hair grow from? The conscious, sentient skin. Which means, from this Brahman, now, from this Brahman, which is of the essentially of the nature of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, inert material beings can originate. Example, yatha sataha purushat kesha lomani. We have to understand the simplest example. From a sentient skin, if the insentient hair can grow. Similarly, from Brahman, the absolute reality, which is essentially of the nature of pure consciousness, pure awareness, pure knowledge, the inert material beings come into existence. This Vishwam, the universe, is of the nature of inertness. Please understand, the entire objective universe of sentient and insentient beings, all of them are of the nature of inertness. The entire universe is of the nature of inertness. Universe is manifestation of knowledge, but still the universe, the material universe, which is of the nature of inertness, is manifestation of knowledge. Okay, universe is manifestation of knowledge. The whole universe is knowledge, no doubt. But the universe, which is manifestation of knowledge, is of the nature of inertness. Because inert matter, the objective universe is matter. Yad drishyam tad jadam. Anything which is perceptible, known, is an object. An object is of the nature of inertness. Therefore, the material universe of material object forms and names and functions, which all of them are of the nature of inertness, of even though it is manifestation of knowledge, we have to understand, how does this inert universe originate from conscious Brahman, consciousness principle? The example is given, just as this insentient hair, bodily hair, and have the head grow from a sentient skin. So also from conscious, this principle Brahman, the entire material universe comes into existence. Means comes into existence, means becomes manifest in consciousness. So in non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, changeless, unchangeable consciousness, the inert material universe becomes manifest and becomes unmanifest. Becomes manifest and man becomes unmanifest means universe keeps coming and going, appearing and disappearing in consciousness, which doesn't come and go. Consciousness doesn't come and go, but the universe appears and disappears in consciousness. The universe appears and disappears is of the nature of matter, of the nature of inertness, being a material product. Therefore, it is said, the third example makes it very clear. Yathakshara yatha satav purushat keshalo mani yatha satav purushat keshalo mani tathaksharat sambhavatiha vishwam. So third example also, three examples are given with the purpose to make it very clear. Now we have to see the, all the three examples have been seen. Yathorna nabhisrajate grinnate cha yatha prithivyamoshadhaya sambhavanti yatha satav purushat keshalo mani tathaksharat sambhavatiha vishwam. Now, what is the main teaching here from this mantra we have? Of course, Ishvara is the, there's no Lord other than Brahma. There's no Ishvara other than the truth or the reality. Then the Ishvara means that Ishvara is the truth. And from the truth, universe has come into existence. Means from Ishvara, the universe has come into existence. Which means the whole universe is non-separate, non-different from Ishvara. Therefore, the whole cosmos is Ishvara. Next lesson is what? There's no Ishvara other than the truth. And from the truth, the universe has come into existence. Therefore, from Ishvara, the universe has come into existence. And the universe, because it has come into existence in Ishvara, from Ishvara, it is non-different from Ishvara. Very important, the universe is non-different from Ishvara. The truth is distinct from the world, distinct from the Vishwam, but the universe is non-different from the truth. What is distinct, what is non-different must become very clear. Ishvara is distinct. Ishvara as the truth is distinct from the universe. But the universe is non-different from the truth. Ishvara. Therefore the whole universe is Ishvara. Ishvara, the truth is not the universe. Not anything in the universe. But the whole universe is nothing but Ishvara. Everything here is Ishvara. This is another lesson. And another important message, important fact we have to remember is that the Upanishad differs from the scientific view. What is the view of scientists? See, scientists are strongly holding on to the view that the entire universe is evolution. Entire universe has, you know, evolved out of the matter For the matter is they call primordial matter, is the cause of the universe. So we have our different schools of thought, and they also hold on to the same view. Different schools of thought, who are also like scientists, hold on to the view that the whole universe is originated from insentient inert matter. The insentient matter is the cause of the universe. This is their view. But what is the view, what is the vision of Vedanta? Vedanta's, we say Vedantic view, we don't even say. We say Vedanta's vision. In the vision of Vedanta, the fact is clearly revealed that the world, in fact, the whole jagat is conscious matter. Say conscious matter means what? How can it be consciousness, conscious matter? Matter is inert. It means the whole universe is manifestation of consciousness, which is the Lord. The whole universe is manifestation of knowledge, the Lord. Knowledge manifest is the universe. So the world is not seen merely as inert bundle of energy. Inert matter is not, world is not viewed in Vedanta as the inert evolution of inert matter, but world is seen as manifestation of knowledge. The whole world is seen as the manifestation of knowledge, manifestation of consciousness, which is Ishvaraha. That is why sun is a conscious being, moon is a conscious being, because everything is manifestation of consciousness, illumination of consciousness. Just as opaque thing is seen as reflection of light, here every inert material form, name and function is seen as manifestation of knowledge, manifestation of consciousness. So, if the doubt arises, how is it possible for the inert universe to originate from consciousness, come into existence from consciousness? So, example is given because the universe, which is of the nature of inertness, which does just as the opaque things which do not have the status of being existent at all in the absence of light, they lose their status of being existent and they will remain as they, then the unillumined opaque world of things is as good as non-existent. Therefore, the opaque world of objects can be, when they enjoy the existent status, we can say the opaque world of objects is a reflection of light. Similarly, the inert material forms, names and functions which constitute the universe doesn't have independent existence at all outside of consciousness. Therefore, the whole world is looked upon as manifestation of knowledge, manifestation of consciousness. Do not see, the world is not seen as mere inert matter, bundle of energy, but the whole world is, the inert material world is nothing but manifestation of consciousness. That is what is revealed by his third example. And that's how Vedantic vision is revealed through this third example. यथा सतः पुरुषात् केशलो मानी तथा अक्षरात् संभवतीह विश्वम् ओके नाउ वी मूव ऑन टू द नेक्स्ट मंत्र द नेक्स्ट अनदर मंत्र हाउ हियर एक्चुअली सृष्टि प्रक्रिया देयर इज सृष्टि प्रक्रिया दिस एनालिसिस ऑफ क्रिएशन हाउ the universe come into how universe comes into existence and before even enter into this verse I want to remind you the fact that different Upanishads present different srishti prakriya means analysis of creation different The analysis of creation presented in different Upanishads are different, is different. The analysis of creation discussed in Taittiriyam is different from the analysis of creation presented in Mundaka. Analysis of creation discussed in other Upanishads is different from these two Upanishads. Which means different Upanishads discuss, present different Srishti Prakriyas. What does it mean? The Prakriya, the analysis of creation differs from Upanishad to Upanishad because the analysis of creation is not for establishing the creation. Important fact. Analysis of creation is not for establishing the creation. Analysis of creation is for us to arrive at the reality, the truth of the universe. So creation is analyzed. Analysis of creation is actually analysis of the universe. Analysis of the universe is actually not for establishing the creation of the universe, but to arrive at the reality from where this universe come in, from where the universe comes into existence, where the universe enjoys existence, where the universe resolves. To understand this fact, what is that reality without which the universe cannot exist at all? What is the reality from which the universe becomes manifest? What is the reality in which the universe enjoys existence? What is the reality in which the universe resolves? What is that which alone is real? And what is the nature of this universe? Is it real? No. Universe is not at all real. Is universe unreal? No. Universe is not unreal also. Universe is not unreal. But universe is not real also. Therefore, the different technical term is used as mithya. Then what is the problem? The problem is the what is not real is mistaken to be real. We do mistake the universe to we mistake the universe to be real, absolutely real. So what? When you mistake this mithya universe to be absolutely real universe, then that error in our perception of the universe results in samsara, results in our suffering, results in our problems. Therefore, now when we seek relief from the problems we have in life, and the only solution for us is to see the world correctly. In order to perceive the world correctly, not to overvalue, not to give overvalue, we don't need to say universe is unreal. We cannot say it is not wrong to say universe is unreal. Universe is not at all unreal because it is available for experience. At the same time, is universe absolutely real? No, it is not absolutely real also. Why? Because universe is not there always. This universe is not there always it is not absolutely there, then there must be something which is absolutely real, because of the presence of which the universe can come and go. And that only by discovering what is absolutely real, we can understand how this universe is not as real as we think. The understanding this fact, we will be relieved of our suffering. For that purpose, we need to understand what is absolutely real, so that we can be convinced of the fact that universe is not as real as we think. It is only empirically real, relatively real, but not absolutely real. Therefore, to understand what is absolutely real, the universe is analyzed. The creation is analyzed. Therefore, no Upanishad is interested in establishing the creation at all. Why? Because there is no creation in fact. There's no creation. The creation itself is not there. The creation itself is not there. How can we say there's a creation? There's no real creation. Vedanta is finally going to make us understand this fact. There's no creation at all. Then what is? There's only manifestation. There's neither creation, there's neither destruction. There's no total absolute destruction of anything. There's no absolute creation of anything. There's a seeming creation, there's a seeming destruction, and which is actually nothing but manifestation. Therefore, Vedanta does not present any theory on creation, but still creation is analyzed, called Srishti Prakriya. So the purpose is to arrive at the reality. Remember this fact before we enter into the Srishti Prakriya of this Upanishad. Okay, let us read the mantra now. So here begins, in the previous mantra we saw the Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman. And we also understood how there is no Ishvara other than the Brahman. And how both causes of the universe is only one, the same reality, Ishvara. Therefore, the universe is non-different from Ishvara, the reality. The whole universe is Brahma, and the whole universe, which is matter, is manifestation of knowledge. We understood. Now, here we are going to see Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahma. Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman means what? Understanding the universe has come into existence from Brahman. So that from which the universe has come into existence, that by which universe is sustained, that in which the universe resolves is Brahman. If you understand, through the creation, when we arrive at the reality, not directly, we do not arrive at the reality directly in terms of its swarupam, but we arrive at the reality through the universe. It's like arriving at the clay through the pot. If you want to know the clay, you must analyze the pot. If you want to discover the water, you must search for the water only where there is wave. Similarly, we have to arrive, not to arrive at the reality of the universe, we are analyzing the universe. It's called through the analysis of the universe, arriving at the truth of the universe is said to be what? Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahma. Tapa Ashtamaha Mantraha. Mundakopanishadi Prathame Mundake Ashtamaha Mantraha. Eighth mantra. Tapasa Chiyate Brahma. Tapasa Chiyate Brahma. Tato Namabhijayate. Tato Namabhijayate. Annat Prano Manas Sat. సత్యం అన్నాత్ ప్రాణో మనః సత్యం లోకాః కర్మసు చామృతం అన్నాత్ ప్రాణో మనః సత్యం లోకాః కర్మసు చామృతం తపసా చీయతే బ్రహ్మ తపసా చీయతే బ్రహ్మ తతోన్నమభిజాయతే తతోన్నమభిజాయతే అన్నాత్ ప్రాణో మనః సత్యం లోకాః కర్మసు చామృతం అన్నాత్ ప్రాణో మనః సత్యం లోకాః కర్మసు చామృతం. సో హియర్ తపసా చీయతే బ్రహ్మ తతః, యూ బ్రేక్ ఇట్, తతః అన్నం అభిజాయతే, తపసా చీయతే బ్రహ్మ తతః అన్నం అభిజాయతే, అన్నాత్ ప్రాణః మనః, ప్రాణో విన్ బ్రేక్ ఇట్, అన్నాత్ ప్రాణః మనః సత్యం లోకాః కర్మసు చ అమృతం, చ అమృతం చామృతం. So, in this particular eighth mantra, the creation is discussed. In presenting the discussion on creation, Upanishad presents two stages of the creation. Upanishad presents the different stages of creation. So, the different stages of creation are discussed here. So, when I said already Srishti Prakriya's intention is not for establishing the creation, therefore these stages of creation discussed in this mantra should not be taken seriously. Okay? Okay. But still, this Upanishad discusses the different stages of creation. How, what does Upanishad say here? The whole cosmos, the creation, its entirety, has not originated, has not come into existence simultaneously, in just simultaneously. There's gradually comes. Suppose if you see a tree, a huge tree somewhere, what does it mean? What does the Upanishad mean by saying the whole cosmos, its entirety, has not come into existence simultaneously? Come together. What does it mean? Suppose if we see a tree, a huge tree, with a big trunk, with the many branches, with the lots of leaves, and things, a huge tree. And the each branch of the tree is so huge. And this tree has so many flowers and fruits. There's so many seeds fall. But do you think that tree would have become such a big tree overnight? The tree, such a huge tree when you see, we can make out just by seeing the tree. Some people say this tree must be of 1,000 years old, 600 years old, or 300 years old, 100 years old. They say that. For the tree to become such a big tree, it must have taken very long. This gradually. You look at the seed of the tree, tiny little seed. And we are 100% sure from this seed alone, the tree must have come into existence. The seed looks very tiny. The seed, first of all, must have had sleeping time. And after that, the seed must be potential enough to have this, for the tea to come out of it. And the seed must have, first of all, must have been soaked in, must have had enough water to be soaked and to become it must swell. It must bulge. And the bulged seed, the skin must become very soft. Then that the sprout should come out. Then even the root, tap root should come out first. The root comes out. Then it has life. And then the sprout comes out. And that sprout gradually grows. It becomes a seedling. Then sapling. Then it becomes a small shrub-like. Then it goes into a healthy plant. Then gradually it becomes a tree. Then even after becoming a tree, it takes very long for the tree to become a huge tree of big trunk with so many branches. Which means there's a gradual growth. Similarly here, this Upanishad says, this mantra says, the creation in its entirety has not come simultaneously at once. So I give an example of a tree for you to understand. So here also, he says, tapasa chiyate brahma. So for the sprout to come out of the seed must bulge. Only then this root can come out. Similarly, tapasa chiyate brahma. It seems this universe, for the universe to become manifest also, some stages are presented here. Tapas here means knowledge. I'll explain later on. Brahma chiyate. See, chiyate is a verb. What's the noun form of chiyate? Chayanam. Chayanam means bulging. So chiyate. The first is, what happens first? Before the creation begins, everything, what is the whole universe, remains unmanifest. Before, let me make it very clear. Before the universe comes into existence, everything remains unmanifest. When everything is unmanifest, there is no known duality. There is no knower, no knowledge, triputi bhedaha. There is only non-dual experience. There's only non-dual experience, but even non-dual experience cannot be explained. That is, the whole universe is unmanifest. When everything is unmanifest, that stage of everything remaining unmanifest is called Mahapralayaha. Mahapralaya Kalaha. The time when everything is unmanifest is said to be Mahapralaya Kalaha. When there's during the Mahapralaya Kala, during the time of everything being unmanifest, there is no idea of creation. That is the stage when even nothing can be discussed about evolution. So here, Ishwaraha, the reality which is endowed with the creative power. The creative power is nothing but power of knowing. Please remember, the creative power of reality is nothing but the power of knowing. Power of knowing is nothing but swarupam of the reality. Power of creative power is the power of knowing. The power of knowing is power of illumining. This power of knowing, otherwise power of illumining, is the swarupam of the reality, nature of reality. And the reality which is endowed with the power is looked upon as Ishwaraha. The absolute reality implied by the term Brahman, endowed with this creative power of power, is looked upon as Ishwaraha. Is given the title Ishwaraha. Therefore, now we'll talk about Ishwaraha. Whenever creation is discussed, we change the term Brahman into Ishwaraha. Because pure reality, Brahman, we don't talk about creation. Whenever you want to talk about the creation, then we change the term Brahman into Ishwara. What does it mean? There's no Ishwara other than Brahma. Brahman, the reality, endowed with the creative power, the power of knowing, the swarupam of knowing, is given the Ishwara title. So this Ishwaraha alone is. So during the Pralaya Kalaha, what is Ishwaraha. Who is Ishwaraha. Who is Ishwara? The reality with the creative power is Ishwaraha. Reality is inseparably with this power of knowing is there. And that Ishwara is like the seed in Pralaya Kala. Reality is, reality with this power known as Ishwara is like the seed in the Pralaya Kalaha, in the stage of dissolution, deluge. And next, okay, this is the first, we start understanding here. First is, then, before the creation, before the creation, this Ishwara, who's Ishwara, the reality with his power, looked upon as Ishwara, becomes prepared for this creation, becomes ready for creating this universe. So what does it mean by saying there's a preparedness, that Ishwara is prepared for creating the universe, means what? The preparedness on the part of Ishwara to create this universe is nothing but visualization of the creation. Visualizing the universe, visualizing the creation is preparing, is said to be the preparedness on the part of Ishwara for creating the universe. Visualization of the universe, visualization of the creation is said to be the preparedness on the part of Ishwara to create the universe. I'm going very carefully. Is the real visualization? We have to understand. So Ishwara becoming prepared for creation, creating the universe, is actually the visualization of the universe. The visualization is not real visualization, as though there is visualization of the universe. I mean, there's visualization of the universe as it were. Visualization of the universe as it were. What does it mean? Whereas as though visualization of the creation means, suppose before making anything, before doing anything, before even preparing something, suppose even what do? We also plan out our work, then we work out our plan. In order to work out, we have to plan out our work first. The planning out the work is sort of visualization. We get up in the morning, you just think mentally what you should do first, where you should, before even you take your car out, okay, we go to the shop first, buy this first, then go to that person, then meet that person and go there, then do this and come. Then you plan. There's always, before doing anything, before preparing anything, before creating anything, there is definitely preparation. The preparation is in the form of thinking, scheming. There's a visualization. Like that here, there's no Ishvara does not really visualize the creation as though Ishvara visualizes the creation. There's as though the visualization of the universe as it were. Similarly here, what we say, for the creation to come into existence, the universe to come into existence, what is the main thing? Karma phalani. All the karma phalani, the prarabdha karma phalani must be ready. The prarabdha karma phalam must be ready for fructification. When the karma phalas, when the results of actions, the parabdha karma phalam of all the beings are ready for fructification, then there is change on the part of the power of the Lord. The change or the modification of the power of the Lord. Mayayam parivartanam. There's a change happens on the part of the Maya, the power of Ishvara. So when does the change happen? When does the power begin to undergo a change? Only when the prarabdha karma phalani are ready for fructification. When the prarabdha karma phalani are ready for fructification, then the power of reality, the power of Ishvara undergoes a change. That undergoing a change is as though Ishvara becoming, bloated. Is like the power of reality undergoing a change in order for when the parabdha karma phalani are ready for fructification, the power of reality undergoes a change, and the power of reality undergoing a change is like the bloating, is like the bulging of the seed, as it were, is like the bulging of the seed, like as though Ishvara bulges, means Ishvara bulges as it were. So really, don't take Isha does not bulge. Okay? What is bulging? What is bloating? The seed has to bloat and bulge for the sprouts to come out. So please understand the word as it were, as though Ishvara visualizes. And now here, for that, just as the seed bulges, Ishvara is also as though Ishvara bulges and bloats. What is that? When the karma phalas are ready for fructification, the power of reality undergoes a change. And the power of reality undergoing a change is what Ishvara Shakti undergoing a change. And Ishvara Shakti undergoing a change is as though Ishvara becoming bloated. Ishvara becoming bulged. Now, see, when we human beings do something, we think, we plan out our work. So we use our mind. Our mind is the instrument we use to think before we do something. Similarly, power of reality, power of Ishvara, otherwise called Maya, is like the mind of Ishvara. So Maya, the power of creative power, is nothing but power of Ishvara, is nothing but Swarupam of Ishvara, otherwise called Maya, undergoes a change. Power undergoes a change means, it's like what we say, this power, Maya, the power is said to be the Ishvara's mind. Ishvara's mind. Ishvara, like a mind. Like Ishvara's mind. Okay? So remember this much. Why Maya, the power of reality is called Maya, which is said to be the mind of Ishvara. Why is it the mind of Ishvara? Because this power undergoes a change. The power undergoing, when does the power undergo change? Only when the Paradha Karma Phalas are ready for fructification. The Paradha Karma Phala is not ready for fructification, then there will not be change. The modification on the part of Maya will not be there. So that's why when you are in sleep, you are not disturbed. Sometimes people come and wake you up and push you and pull you. They even sometimes, here I remember in India, some grandparents come and sprinkle water on us to wake us up early. You know, they sprinkle water and even then won't wake up. Even after sprinkling the water, we'll wipe and sleep. We are not able to get up. Even after waking up for so long, we continue to sleep because we don't wake up so soon. Why? That day's Paradha Karma is not yet ready. The Paradha Karma is ready. Sometimes don't even sleep or wake up very early. John, every day you are woken up. We are woken up sometime or the other. We are woken up. We wake up because of the Paradha Karma, readiness of Paradha Karma. Yeah, I'm going to stop. I want to tell you this much. See, Paradha Karma is responsible for the mind to be disturbed. So disturbance in our mind is our waking up. Similarly, the Maya undergoes, please, is it clear now? The Maya undergoes a change only when the Paradha Karma Phalams are ready for fructification. And therefore, Maya is like the mind of Ishvara. Disturbance in Maya is this creation. So disturbance in Bhagavan's sleep is the creation. Disturbance in our sleep is what? Our world, our life. Wake up. When does Bhagavan wake up? When there's disturbance in Bhagavan's sleep, Bhagavan's mind called Maya, then there is creation. Disturbance in our sleep is our dream. I will take you step by step. Okay? No tapasa chiyate brahma. I've explained one line today, I've explained. Tapasa chiyate brahma. Tapasa, I have to explain. Brahma chiyate means, here Brahma should be taken as Ishvara. Brahma chiyate, subject and verb. Okay, only two words I explained today. Brahma should be taken as Ishvara. Why? Because Brahman, the reality, is endowed with the creative power called Maya is given the Ishwara title. So Ishwaraha bulges. The Lord bulges. Lord blows. What does it mean? Chiyate means then when the Prarabdha karma is ready, the Maya, the reality undergoes a change. The change on the part of power is the bloating or bulging of Ishwara, as it were. Is it clear? I've explained only two words. Brahma Chiyate. The rest I'll explain next class. And please remember, we should not take the discussion on creation seriously, but understand the mantra correctly, every word. But discussion on creation is for arriving at the reality, not for establishing the creation. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.